The Holy Gospel according to Luke in the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you rather not say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So I have kind of a marital problem. my husband is too nice, is our problem. Because a few weeks ago, I came home and on the dining room table was a magazine all about the end times. And I asked him, I said, "Ethan, where did you get this from?" And he said, "Oh, well, this nice older couple came to the door earlier, and we got to talking, and they asked me, 'Am I concerned about violence in the world?' And I said, 'Yes.' And then he said, 'They asked me as well if I thought one day that God would come and put an end to all the violence.' And he goes, 'I also said, yes.' And I said, 'Ethan, did you tell them that you weren't interested, that you were Lutheran?' And he said, 'No.' I said, 'Those were the Jehovah's Witnesses.'" And lo and behold, last Saturday morning, there is another knock at the door. And mind you, I'm still in my pajamas, but Ethan goes, "Oh no, it's them again." "You answer it this time." So I did, and they go, "Are you Ethan's wife?" And I said, "Yes." But real quickly, I say, "Yes, but we're Lutheran." And then foolishly, I go, "And I'm a Lutheran pastor." And they go, "Oh, interesting." And I'm trying to shut down this conversation and say, you know, "We're just not interested." And they go, "Oh, but as a Christian, aren't you concerned about God coming back to clean up this mess?" And I paused and responded, I don't think we share the same values." Now, I felt kind of conflicted about this interaction. For one, I was very perturbed with Ethan for making me answer the door braless and in my pajamas. And on the other hand, I also felt bad because I felt like I was kind of rude. I'm not really good at thinking fast on my feet, and I wish that I had said a little bit more or explained myself better, because I don't think that what I said really came out completely right. I don't know, or I didn't know, if it wasn't necessarily that we don't share the same values. It's that my perception of the Jehovah's Witnesses was that they care a little too much about living in the final days and the second coming and figuring out who is getting saved or not. And then ultimately I think, oh, if you care about that, then you don't care about what the world looks like in the here and now. You don't care about God's kingdom in the here and now. And one of my biggest religious pet peeves is when certain traditions forget all about the ministry that Jesus did and calls us to do. And I didn't know then if that was an entirely true judgment. But I will say, after I read the magazine, the main focus was a lot on God's judgment in the second coming. There's always going to be differences between people. And I don't want to be the one increasing polarization, so I did my research on the Jehovah's Witnesses. I went to Google and I read their website and checked out what they believe, because I wanted to know, is it true, my perception, that we don't maybe share the same religious values? And here's what I found the most interesting. They argued a lot that the kingdom of God is this government that will come and rule with thrones and kings and end times. And when I told Ethan that, he responded, "Haven't we had enough of governments already?" I kind of agree with them. And when they were also writing about the second coming, they were insisting on it in stating this government called God's kingdom. And they used it in that phrase, which argued against something that's really important to me in my faith, the idea that God's kingdom is in our hearts as well. They really didn't like what Luke says just a few verses after our text for today, "For in fact, the kingdom of God is among or within you." And here's why I think this is important. Here's why I'm willing to kind of fight someone over this. I really believe that what you say you believe is only as important as how it impacts how you live your life. If you believe, for instance, that God is coming back, God's going to come and just clean things up, create a clean slate, bring this heavenly government, save 144,000 of the most righteous chosen people, if that's the thing that is most important to you, then I'm assuming that your main purpose in your faith is also going to be going door to door, trying to convert people to your message. And I guess that's nice to a certain extent. It's nice to want to save people. I believe that it has good intentions. But as for me, as a Lutheran, that idea of the kingdom of God existing in our hearts, and also that it has the power to exist through us in our world, that we don't have to wait for it to be real, that's so important to me, because I believe that Jesus came so that we could have abundant life. Abundant life in both the here and the now and the beyond. And so if, like me, you believe that Jesus already brought the kingdom of God near, that salvation can happen each and every day in real, tangible, physical ways, through love, through forgiveness, through healing, through feeding, through relationship and grace. If that's most important to you, and if you believe that, then I think you're probably going to be more interested or concerned about the existence of people in the here and now, and maybe just a little less preoccupied about whether they're getting saved in the second coming. And personally, I'm leaving that business up to God and trusting that God's judgment will be love. And while we as Lutherans, we say it in the Apostles' Creed, we agree that Jesus will come again eventually to redeem the world, we would probably also say it's maybe not so much our business to know when or how. Instead, we'll say plant your apple tree and do what you can in the here and now. Leave the last day for the last day. What I'm saying here is that how you live out your faith matters. And it's not always something that's easy. Coming back to the Gospel of Luke, the followers of Jesus asked to have their faith increased. And here's why. They've just heard Jesus tell them that they are supposed to forgive someone 7 times a day if they repent after every time they sin. To forgive someone that many times a day would be a big feat. It would take a lot of grace and a lot of faith to do so. So I get their inclination would be to ask for more faith. But I also wonder if they're kind of getting things a little wrong, as they typically do. They think they need to ask for more faith from Jesus, for Jesus to come in and fix things for them, to give them more. when they may already have what they need within them. Last weekend, a very devoted and faithful member of our congregation, Sandy Grenke, passed away. And when I was sharing the news of her death with someone who had known her for many years, she told me that Sandy was just one of the most Christian people ever, that Sandy never said a bad word about anybody. And I thought about that a lot, and I actually felt a little convicted by it because I'm someone who's not perfect, who can make quick judgments about people. Heck, I knew I did not want to talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses even before I answered the door. And reflecting on Sandy the next day, I thought, oh, I wish I had faith like that. I wish I could be more gracious to people who are frustrating rather than maybe making snap judgments based upon perceptions. I wish I had faith like that. It's really easy to get caught up in what we lack. It's easy to get into kind of a fear and scarcity mindset. I was asking for more faith, just like the disciples, because I didn't think mine was enough. And when I told my mom and Ethan what I was thinking about, they told me, relax, you're good enough. You don't have to have all of the gifts. And I wonder if that's what Jesus is also saying to the disciples. Dear disciples, you're worried about scarcity when you should be considering the abundance you already have. When our Tanzanian guests were visiting from Azania Front, I was in awe by their passion, their magnetic, positive energy. When they spoke about their faith and their ministries, I was inspired. Their love of God overflowed in everything that they did. And it was contagious because I started to think, what could be possible if we expressed our faith in that wonderfully wholehearted, exuberant sort of way? Often I hear a lot of us feeling often dejected, down about our lack of potency in our own faith, thinking that it doesn't always make a difference. But when I was in the presence of the Tanzanians, I felt that their faith, our faith, it could move mountains. And it just reaffirmed for me that what we believe about our faith matters. The disciples don't believe that they have devoted their whole lives to him. They've left their families, they've left their jobs, and they're out there sharing the good news each and every day. They're literally bringing the kingdom of God close. Do we really buy their nonsense that they only have teeny tiny tidbits of faith? No. You all should be shaking your head. No. Right? Devoting your entire life to Jesus is not little faith. So the problem's not their actual faith. They've got enough. Their problem is what they believe about their faith, their confidence in their faith. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we believe about our faith? Do we believe that our prayers make a difference? Do we believe that our daily interactions matter? Do we believe that our faith has a positive impact on the world that God created and it's something worth sharing? Because I do envy the Jehovah's Witnesses. I envy that they have the confidence to come to my door and to want to share their faith. And I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but I am saying that there is something really wonderful about having that passion about your faith, about spreading the message. And I think we could all use a little bit more of that, because that's what brings the kingdom of God close. So let's believe that our mustard seed of faith is powerful. Let's believe that it makes a difference, and let's plant it so it can grow. Amen.